If we were all to make a list of the things, the top needs or the top five needs for our nation, I imagine on all of our lists we would find the word character. I'd like to talk today a little bit about character, because it's something that everyone appreciates, whether you're lost or saved, whether you're in church or out of church, something we all appreciate, something we all look for in the people we marry, something we look for in the people we work for or hire to work with us or for us. And yet character is not something that's much of a topic anymore. If you were to tune through your radio station, all the talk show hosts, you won't find anybody talking about character. If you were to watch Oprah or Sally, Jesse Raphael or whoever, you won't find them talking about character. And that's a little bit strange, because we live in a culture where you can talk about anything, right? In fact, you can be anything and be proud of it these days. And yet, with the variety of topics, with the variety of talk show hosts, with the variety of interests, nobody's talking about character. And I think that's the statement that characterizes our whole culture. From billboards to magazines to television shows to shops to what the operations they can do. Now, everything is focused on this outer, external man. There's no place you can go to work on character. You can't major in it in school. There's not even an elective you can take. In fact, there's not even a portion of any class, probably, that you could take in college or in high school or at any level of education that would focus on character. If you were to walk into Walden Books or to walk into your local bookstore and to go through the bestsellers, you won't find anything written on character. In fact, even in the religious section, in the psychology section, it's hard to find anything that focuses on bettering the inner man, the inside person. We live in a culture that is totally focused and is constantly working to focus our attention on the outer man. And consequently, as we'll see today in our few minutes together, we're paying a very, very, very high price. And by eliminating and by moving from a pursuit of character to a pursuit of other things, not only are we paying a high price, but we are eliminating slowly from our thinking and slowly from our line of sight the very thing that we need most as individuals, the very thing that we need most as a nation. Now, what's interesting is it hasn't always been this way in America. There was a college professor that was hired by a large corporation to do research for them in a particular area. And part of his research, his assignment, was to read all the self-help literature since the beginning of our nation, the founding fathers, all the way up to the present. George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, all sorts of men who wrote all the way to the present, was to read all the self-help literature. And what he found was this, that in the first 150 years of our nation's history, the focus for self-help was on character. That men, primarily men, male writers back then, the men who wrote in those days defined success, whether it be in business or politics or the family, defined success in terms of character. What a man stood for, what a man believed, the condition of the heart of a man. He said, but in the last 50 years, there was a sudden shift. And as you read the self-help literature of these past 50 years up to the present, there's a shift from character to achievement, to performance, to doing. That no, it's no longer important what you are, it's important what you do. It's not important what the condition of your heart is, it's how well you perform. And not only that, it's a shift from character, he said, to a drive and a need to be fulfilled. Temporary, quick fulfillment. And so what we live in today is a culture that has abandoned character. Now understand, nobody that I meet or that you meet is against character. I mean, we don't see people out protesting against character. We want a politician with no character. We want parents with no character. You know, you don't hear people saying that. But what's happened is this. There has been a shift in the priority. It's a value question. It's a shift in priority. Nobody's against character. Yet we live in a culture where nobody seems to be pursuing it. Now, follow with me for just a few minutes as we go on sort of do a little mental exercise here. You see, whenever a man or a woman shifts their pursuit from character to anything else, it affects automatically their sense of values, their sense of ethics, their sense of morality. For instance, in our culture, we've had a shift from pursuing character to pursuing, we'll use the word achievement. That stands for a lot of things, career goals, that sort of thing. A shift from pursuing character to achievement. Now again, I'm not against achievement. It's a matter of the number one priority. It's a matter of the pursuit. In our culture, when a man or woman gets to a fork in the road and they have to make a decision, and one decision would lead them toward character but would sacrifice an achievement, or the other road would lead them toward achievement where they would sacrifice character, we live in a culture where we're being told, choose achievement at the sacrifice of character. When that happens, without a man or woman or a nation or a business ever knowing it, there is an automatic, by definition, change or shift in their system of ethics. Because now, what's right are those things that facilitate achievement. And what's wrong are those things that stand in the way of achievement, are those things that stand in the way of progress. Now, this isn't a conscious decision, but in terms of the daily operation of an individual, the daily operation of a nation or a business, what happens is decisions are made, right and wrong is judged in terms of what's number one. And if it's not character, if it's achievement, then what facilitates achievement is by definition right. So a man comes to a point in his life where his wife and family are getting in the way, sapping too much time in his pursuit of a particular career goal. And his way of thinking, it's right to leave that family. It's the right thing to do. He justifies it as right. Many of you work in situations where people steal your ideas. Maybe you've had that situation where you went to a supervisor or to your boss and you say, "Hey, I've got a great idea. I think I know how we can streamline this process. I think I know how we can waste less money and less time in this particular area." And you lay out your idea and he says, "That's a great idea." And then you're sitting in a meeting weeks later and he gets up and presents your idea as his idea. And you know that feeling. It's so frustrating because you can't interrupt the meeting. You don't want to look like an idiot. You don't want to look like you're selfish. But you know in your heart, that was my idea. And you're thinking, how could he do this? How in the world could he lie? How in the world could he take credit for something that was my idea? Well, it's simple. You see, in his mind, character is number two to achievement. And achievement for him is stealing your idea. Then it's right to steal your idea. You see, there comes a time in this way of thinking that it's right to lie. It's right not to tell the whole truth. It's right to be dishonest. It's right to steal another man's thoughts, another man's idea. It's right. It's right. Why? Because number one is not character anymore. It's achievement. And there's a subtle shift in our ethics. There's also a subtle shift in our morality. Because you see, when fulfillment becomes king, when fulfillment becomes chief, when fulfillment becomes the number one pursuit in our lives, then what's moral are those things that lend themselves and facilitate our fulfillment. And what's immoral are those things that stand in the way. So a woman gets pregnant, and having a baby is going to stand in the way of fulfillment in a particular area. And in her mind and in our society, it's right that she have an abortion. It's right that she terminate that pregnancy. And it's wrong for you and I to work against that. You see, it turns upside down. And where did it begin? It begins when we no longer pursue character. We choose to pursue something else. And in this culture, we pursue achievement, process, doing, and fulfillment. Satisfaction of some needs, not in a long-term way, but usually short and superficial method. Now, it'd be nice to stand up here and point fingers at the world all day and give all kind of illustrations and talk about politicians and all that sort of thing. But the problem is, this subtle shift has found its place in the church as well. We have almost the same divorce rate in the church as outside of the church. There are almost as many teenagers in the church who are sleeping around as teenagers outside the church. And when it comes to our ethics, how we handle our money, when it comes to our morals, what we think about, what we fill our minds with, our entertainment, all those sorts of things, there's really not much difference anymore. And the reason is because you and I have been caught up in our culture through advertisement, through whatever, and we don't know when it happened, and we're not sure how it happened, but for many of us, our number one pursuit is no longer character, it's achievement, it's fulfillment. Whatever fulfills me is right. Whatever facilitates my achievement, my upward progress, my forward mobility, whatever helps with that is right. Whatever stands in the way is wrong. We show up on Sunday mornings, sing a bunch of songs, give lip service to God, but when we come to those critical decision times in our lives where we're at a fork in the road and to choose this way is the way of character, but it'll cost us financially, it'll cost us in our reputation. To choose this way is to move forward and to make progress, but it's going to cost us our character. Too many Christians opt to go the way of the world. And it's not that they're against character, it's just that they have allowed character to take the back seat to something else. Do you know where I see this most in a practical way? Where I see this is when I'm talking to people about their relationship to God and they come in with very complicated situations, very complicated lives, and very complicated problems. And I say, well, let's look at what God's Word has to say. And, you know, they come to me for advice and I say, no, look, this is going to be hard and you're not going to like this, but I just want to tell you what God would have you do. Trust Him. And we go through the Word of God or we go through some principle. And I can see their backs kind of bowing up sometimes and they're getting uncomfortable. And I can tell this isn't going to sit well and they're probably not going to do it anyway, but I feel like I need to go ahead and lay it out before them. And this is what they say. Sincere, look me straight in the eye, meaning it with all their heart. They say, Andy, I hear what you're saying, but doesn't God want me to be happy? And then I think about this. See, all of us have said that. All of us have said that. When faced with what God wants us to do, when faced with a sermon, when faced with the Word of God, and we look at our situations, we go, yeah, but doesn't God want me to be happy? Now, follow me. You see, if you've ever said that, maybe you're in a dilemma now where you kind of, your conscience is saying this way, but your feelings are saying this way, and it looks like happiness is this way, but your conscience is this way, and you're in that battle now, follow me. You see, if you're in that dilemma, or if you've ever said those words, yeah, I know what it says, I know what the Bible says, but God wants me to be happy, understand, you have fallen. You have fallen. Character is not your priority. Instant fulfillment is your priority. Happiness is your priority, but not the pursuit of character. You say, well, Andy, doesn't God want us to be happy? Sure it does. Sure He does. But God's ultimate goal, God's ultimate priority is not our happiness. It starts with an H. It's our holiness. And character is all about holiness. Now let me ask you something. This past week, when you came to a fork in the road, you had to make a decision. And one way lended it toward achievement, one way lended toward fulfillment, one way was the way of character. Which way did you choose? And do you understand that if you chose the way of achievement versus character, if you sacrificed your character for some kind of cheap thrill or for some sense of fulfillment, do you understand that in terms of your lifestyle, you are no different than the worst pagan non-believer that walks the streets of Atlanta or any other city in Atlanta? Do you realize that fundamentally, at the core, there's really no difference? And that you and I have no right to shake our finger at the world and say, I can't believe he promised one thing and did something else. I can't believe he stole my idea. If at a fundamental level we're operating from the same basis. Now you need to understand this. There's a high price we pay when we sacrifice character. And the price we pay comes in the context of our relationships. Wherever there is a deficit of character, there will be destruction, self-destruction in relationships. Wherever there's a deficit in character, there's going to be a problem in relationships. The best way I know to illustrate it is this way. I don't know much about motors and engines, but I know this. If an engine requires oil, you better put oil in the engine. If you don't put oil in the engine, an interesting phenomenon takes place. The parts in the engine, which strangely enough, were designed to go together. I mean, the parts in an engine where you just can't put any part in there. You have to find parts that work together. These parts were tailor-made to work together. But if you don't put oil in an engine that requires oil, those parts that were made to work together eventually destroy each other. Now you see, this solves one of the mysteries of life, in fact. If all you get out of the sermon is this next thing, you will have solved a mystery in life, and it's this. How is it? Think of this. How is it that a man and a woman who spend time with each other and come to the conclusion that they were meant for each other, their personalities lend themselves to each other, their gifts, what they like, the dislikes, they've spent time figuring this thing out, and they are sure they are meant for each other. And then they surround themselves with friends that say, hey, we're for you, it's going to work out, it's going to be great. And they come into a church and they have this big wedding and they go out committed to living together and all the parts, everything just seems to work together. How is it that those two people could end up the bitterest of enemies? Simple. There's no character. There won't be much relationship. Character serves as the lubricant, if I can be so strange as to use that term in this context, the lubricant or the oil of relationships. And I don't care how perfectly suited you are for your job, how perfectly suited you are to work with a certain person, how perfectly suited you are to have a partner, how perfectly suited you are for your mate, how perfectly suited you are for whatever, if there is no character in your life, or if there's a deficit of character in the other person's life, there will be friction, and eventually that friction will destroy the relationship. And here's the strange thing. A man or a woman who's no longer pursuing character will watch their relationships crumble from the inside out. That is, the people who are closest to them will suffer first and will suffer deepest. You see, we've fallen for this lie that somehow if you're good at what you do at work, you're going to be good at home. And ladies, you know, you're looking for a husband, and maybe you're already in the situation where he's so talented, and he's so gifted, and he's so smart, and he's so skilled, and he's so trained, and he's so educated. Surely he'll be a good husband. But understand, relationships don't function according to skill and talent and giftedness and education. Relationships make it or break it on the basis of character. You see, show me a man who's perfectly fitted for a job, but who has no character, and I'll show you conflict on the job site. Show me a man or woman who are perfectly suited for marriage, but one or the other has a character deficit, and there's going to be problems in that home. Show me a pastor who's a gifted communicator, but has no character. And I'll show you a church that's full of problems. Because you see, character develops respect, and respect is the driving force of long-term relationships. I'd like to give you a definition for character. You may want to write this down, stick it on a card somewhere, and look at it for a couple of days. Character. You can look it up in the dictionary. It's interesting. Get an old dictionary, you find a pretty good definition. Get a new dictionary, it's like, you're going, what? You know, where it's like, you know, number five definition is kind of good. It's strange how even in our terminology, the word character is moving out of the forefront of our terminology and of our conversation. Character is this. Character is belief in an absolute system of right and wrong. Character is belief. It begins with belief. It's belief in an absolute system of right and wrong. That there's these rules that are always right, and there's rules and they're always wrong, no matter what. Belief in an absolute system of right and wrong, combined with the will to do what is right. Combined with the will to do what is right, regardless of the cost. Combined with the will to do what is right, regardless of the cost. Two parts. Character is belief in an absolute system of right and wrong, that there are certain things that are right, there are certain things that are wrong. And it's combined with, it's not just a belief system, it's combined with the will, that's the inner man, combined with the will to do what is right, regardless of the personal cost. You see, a man or woman of character doesn't ask, what's right for me? The man or woman of character asks, what's right? The man or woman of character doesn't ask, how will this benefit or hurt me? The man or woman of character simply asks, what's the right thing to do? The man or woman of character defines their personal success. Because remember, if character is the number one pursuit, then a man or woman's inner sense of success will hinge on their ability to accomplish what's most important to them. And you see, when character becomes number one in your thinking, when character becomes number one in your pursuit, then what's amazing and it's exciting is that regardless of what happens around you, if you can lay in bed at night and evaluate your day and remember the crossroads, I chose character. It cost me, but I chose character. I chose character. It cost me, but I chose character. Then you see, you're a success. Because the man or woman of character does not define success in terms of just achievement, though that may be part of it. Or just fulfillment, though that certainly may be part of it. But the number one priority is, did I do what was right? Have you ever met a person like that? They're great, aren't they? You know what you automatically have for them? You have respect for them. They may be wealthy, they may be poor, they may be talented, they may not be talented. But when you come into contact with a man or woman of character, there's a deep sense of abiding respect. It's like, you know, they're sort of predictable. You sort of already know. In fact, if you've ever been to somebody for advice and they're men or women of character, you've had this experience, you're halfway through your story and you already know what they're going to say. You never had that happen? It's like you feel kind of stupid that you even came, because they're kind of looking at you and you're thinking, I already know what they're going to say. You know why? Because you can sense. They're not appealing to some emotion. They're not appealing to some, you know, current circumstance. They're appealing to an absolute system of right and wrong. And here is a man or a woman who's always going to go back to that. That's their baseline. That's their starting point. That's their foundation. And they just don't vary from it. That's character. And it's something that you're not going to get much help with in this world. I mean, where can you go? Cruise through the mall and look for a place you can kind of plug in. Just one. Is there just one place in this huge mall I can go that'll help me with my character now? Nobody's going to help you. In fact, we live in a system that's constantly pushing us, constantly putting pressure on us to abandon character as our number one priority. And you see, before we go on, you need to know as a Christian, unless you take positive action, unless you make some adjustments, unless you bend over backwards, unless you plan to stand against the current, it's just a matter of time, and your priority won't be character either. It'll be something else. And you'll look religious, and you'll say the right things and do the right things, but you won't be a man or woman of character. See, you need to understand, two people can do the same thing, and one can be a man or woman of character and one won't. Because character is not just what we do, it's what we are. It's the matter of the heart. Character goes deeper than what we do. Character deals with what we do. So here's two men, and they're both in an office, and both of them have an opportunity to have an affair. There's a woman, and she's let it be known that she's open, available. And so here are two men struggling with this issue of an affair. And both decide not to have the affair. And our tendency is to look at both of them and say, well, isn't that great? Two men of character. No, you don't understand what's going on in the heart. See, man number one looks around and he thinks, I'll never get away with this. I better pass. Man number two says, it's wrong. I wouldn't even consider it. You see the difference? One, pragmatic approach. This has nothing to do with character. It has to do with achievement. This may hurt me in my business. This may hurt me with my job. This doesn't make good sense. I've been warned about this kind of inner office kind of thing. So I better back off because I don't want to do anything that hinders my achievement. That's not character. Character is no. It's wrong. Remember Joseph? Perfect story. Remember Joseph? Old Testament? You know, Potiphar's wife says, lay with me. I wouldn't dare. Why? Because you might get caught? No, because it's wrong. Oh, it's just wrong. Sin against God and against your master. Any other questions? No. It's just wrong. See, that's a man of character. It's wrong. I don't do that. It's wrong. But look what you'll gain. You don't understand. It's wrong. But look what's going to happen if you don't. You don't understand. It's wrong. I'm a man of character. I don't do what's wrong. Here's two women in the office. Each of them sees an opportunity to steal, to rip off their company in some way consistently. Could amount to a lot of money in a long period of time. Both of them decide not to do it. One because she's afraid she'll be caught. One because it's wrong. I don't do that. Doesn't matter if I get caught or not. That's not the issue. You see, character is about the heart. Character is about why we do what we do. Now, you say, well, this is great, Andy. What does any of this have to do with Christianity? Here's what's so exciting about Christianity. Christianity is all about character. You know why? Because when you became a Christian and when I became a Christian, Jesus Christ sent His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of us. And He didn't send Him inside to live inside of us to make us look better, smell better, you know, make our bodies look like they're supposed to look. And it wasn't about that. Jesus Christ sent His Spirit within us to begin and work on the inside of our hearts that in time would begin to manifest itself in our behavior. That what Jesus Christ came to do was to radically impact and change our heart / our character. Because He came to manifest through us the life and the character of Jesus Christ. That's why of all the groups of people in this nation and of all the groups of people in this world, we as Christians should be leading the way in terms of character. Why? Because we're more than just committed to a standard of right and wrong. We have living inside of us a Savior who is constantly at work. Today, right now, while I'm speaking, He's at work in you. When you get home, He's at work in you. When you're sinning, He's at work in you. He's constantly at work in you to produce through you the life of Jesus Christ that manifests itself in behavior that matches and lines up with character. You see, character is what the Christian life is all about because it's character that attracts the world's attention. It's your character that causes someone to come up to you at work and say, you know, I noticed you didn't. I noticed you did. Or I noticed you wouldn't. I noticed you didn't go. I noticed. What I noticed was, these aren't their words but ours. What I noticed was, you have character. Tell me about it. You see, light in this dark world and salt in this world, it's about character. And what Christ came to produce in you is character. And here's the conflict. And we're going to look at a passage in a minute. Here's the conflict. If your agenda is anything else other than character, then you are not walking in the Spirit, period. If your agenda in life is anything other than the pursuit of character, I don't mean you're against character. I mean it's not the number one thing. If your agenda is something else and you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not walking in accordance with God's will, He's going to always seem far away from you. Christianity's not going to make sense. And when you pray, it's going to seem like your prayers are bouncing around the room. Because God has an agenda. Paul said it this way, it's great. He said that God is at work in you. God is at work, present tense, constantly. God is constantly at work in you. What's He doing? He's trying to produce through you the life of Christ, character. And you see, until you and I make that the priority, we're not working with God, we're working against Him. We may look good and smell good and dress up good and feel good in church, but we're not walking in the Spirit. And we're not what God wants us to be, and we can't be. If you have your Bibles, look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Let me tell you a little bit about this passage. First of all, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And these men had made the same mistake that our culture has made today. What they did is they thought what God was into was this outer thing. How you look, how long your hair is, where your earrings are, how far your coat goes. And it was into all these details. And Jesus shows up and says, you religious leaders have missed the point. That's not what I'm about. Look what He says, verse 23. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law. Look what He says. You've neglected, not the whole thing, the more important matters. That is, your priorities are wrong. You've missed the point. You've got some of these details down, but you've missed the heart of what this is all about. What are they? Justice. That's a character issue. Mercy. That's a character issue. Faithfulness. That may be the top of the character issues. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. That is, go ahead and do all these detailed things, but don't miss the point of what this is all about what God is all about. You strain out the gnat, but swallow a camel. You know what that means? That means, you know, you've got all the minor things, but you've missed the main thing. And you've strained out all these little things. Oh, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that, and I want to have my house in order. He says, but you've missed the fundamental, you've missed the heart of what God wants to do. And look what he says. It's great. Verse 25. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Now look at that for a minute. You clean the outside of the cup, but inside it's full of greed and self-indulgence. Let me just ask a convicting question. We won't stay on this too long. It's way too convicting. Are you guilty of that? Let me just ask it this way. If I were to take your day timer, day runner, whatever you use, your calendar, if I were to take your Visa statement, your checkbook, that kind of summarizes your life, how you spend your money and your time. Would it be true of you that you're guilty, that I'm guilty of spending all my time, energy, and money working on the outside of this cup and neglecting the inside? And do you see, as we're going to see in a minute, that when we do that, we are just completely missing out on what God sent Christ into this world to do. I mean, this body is dying. I mean, if God was into how we look, He would have done a lot better than He's done, right? I mean, if you looked in the mirror lately, I mean, a hard look, I mean, it's not a pretty sight. I mean, some of us, you know, some of you, I should say, yeah, some of you are in this top, you know, 0.3%, you know, of the people that we look at in magazines and go, wow, that's what the body's supposed to look at. But look at the rest of us. I mean, we're kind of a mess. And it's getting worse. I mean, after 25, you know, it's boom, physically, you're over the hill. I mean, that's it. When you exercise, you're working against nature, and you always lose that battle. It's terrible. But listen to what we're doing. Here we have these few years on life, in this life, we know death is inevitable. I mean, none of us are going to skip that. You know, people have been trying to figure that out for years. We're all going to die unless Jesus comes back. We're all going to die. We can't avoid that. And look at the way we spend our time. I mean, how many times have you said, I don't have time to pray, I don't have time to spend time every day with God? Why? Well, I got to take a shower in the morning, yeah. And I got to make my hair look right, yeah. And I got to get dressed, right. And then there's times I got to go to the mall to make sure that what I'm getting dressed with is the right thing, yeah. Then I got to go get my hair cut, right. Then I got to exercise, right. See, I don't have time to spend time with God. Let me interpret that in some different terms. I don't have time to work on the inner man. I've got too much to do for the outer man. I got to keep the outside of this cup clean. I've got to keep the outside of this dish clean. And Jesus is going, not interested. Different agenda. I'm an inside guy. I'm not an outside guy. And you need to do some things for the outside. But you better start focusing inside or you're going to miss me all your life. I love this next verse, verse 26. Blind Pharisee. This is a great verse. This is just like the essence of why Christ came. First, now notice that first. Not along with, not after, not in the meantime. First, clean the inside of the cup and dish. And then the outside also will be clean. You know what Jesus is saying? Need some new priorities. So your priority is all this outer thing, and then when you get time, you work on the inner thing. He says, let me give you some new priorities. You need to work on the inside. And this is a great promise. This is a promise. If you want a promise, this is one of those promises. You know what the promise is? He says, if you will get involved in what I'm already doing inside of you, then eventually these changes on the inside are going to begin leaking out into your behavior. You know what it's like? It's like the teenager who's at school and they become a Christian and they've been growing in the Lord and they're taking a test and they look and somebody's test is uncovered and they find themselves immediately looking back at their paper. And they go, wow, used to I would have just copied their whole, what happened? Why did I react that way? See, that's how God is. See, God work starts on the inside. He cleans that heart. He begins pumping through us the character and the life of Christ. And when we begin to make that the priority, then He says, eventually, you can mark it down. Eventually, that inside change is going to begin leaking into your behavior. So you're sitting outside waiting for your wife, and she's, 10 or 15 minutes late as normal. And all of a sudden, it comes to your mind, sir, and all of a sudden it hits you, sir, I haven't even honked the horn. It's like, wow, I'm changing. It's like one of my good friends who came to Christ, and he was working in an environment that when he became a Christian, I thought, Lord, he needs to get out of that environment, but I didn't feel the freedom to tell him. It was none of my business. I figured God handled that. I'll never forget the day he came to me and said, Andy, I think I should quit my job. I'm like, and I said, why? He said, I don't feel comfortable in that environment. See, that's God's way from the inside out. And that's evidence of a man or a woman who is working in tandem with God to change that heart. Because when God does His work through His Spirit, our character, that change, that inner man begins to leak out into our behavior. Boy, last week we heard a powerful testimony of a woman who had worked in an abortion clinic for years, several years, as an administrator. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. She said, every day I walked into that clinic, and when I would count the bodies, all it was to me was tissue. Just tissue. Just tissue. Just tissue. And then one night she asked Jesus to come live inside of her, make her new. And she said she woke up the next morning and looked in the mirror, and she looked just the same. And she said, I was genuinely disappointed. I thought the verse about, all things will become new, that somehow I would look different. She said, I drove to work so disappointed that God hadn't made me new. She said, I did my job. I walked into the laboratory at the end of the day, and for the first time in my life, I saw dead bodies. And she said, I went in my office and I wept and wept and wept and wept. See, that's God's way. He gets in here and He begins changing things. And slowly those changes leak out into our behavior. But you know something, Christian? You and I can put the brakes on that process so quick. And you know how we do it? We say, I'm not into the character thing. It's important, but it's going to take the back seat to something else. And when you do that, you quench the Spirit of God in your life. And you may go through the routine of going to church. You may even read your Bible, sing a few praise songs, kind of get an ooey-gooey feeling at a Christian concert, do some service, But you have quenched the Spirit of God in your life. And you know where we lose out first? In our relationships with those people who are closest to us. Now let me ask you something. What are you pursuing? Are you willing to pay the price to pursue character? It will cost you. It will cost you. Some of you are saying, yeah, if I do that, it'll cost me my job. You're right. Some of you, it'll cost you your job. Some of you, it'll cost you some friendships. Some of you, it'll cost you financially. It'll cost you some opportunities. It'll cost you some deals. But you see, you got to decide, am I looking at this thing short term or am I looking long term? Am I looking at just this outer thing? Do I just want to keep this outer body looking good, keep the outer cup looking clean, keep it nice and shiny, and just neglect this heart? Or are you willing to step out this morning and saying, I want to get back in line with what God's doing in my life? Because understand, God has never quit. Paul said, He is present tense at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God is working in your life. I mean, you may feel it, you may not feel it, but He's working. But if you want to feel it, then you need to get in on His program. And His program is, I want you to achieve, but it's not the most important thing. I want you to be happy, but it's not the most important thing. I want you to pursue character. I want you to pursue the character of Christ. I want you to pursue this process in your heart that I began a long time ago. And let me tell you how to begin. I struggled with this for a long time. You know how you begin this process? It's so simple. I don't need to give you three steps. It's so simple. And let me tell you how I discovered it first. I'm in this situation now in my life where I'm working with adults. And y'all are really messed up, a lot of you. You're just complicated. I mean, you are. I was working with teenagers. Teenagers had about three problems, and they were only 15 or 16, so they haven't had a lot of time to mess everything. It was kind of simple. They were serious problems, but they were simple. But, I mean, I'm just sitting there going, Lord, I'm 34 years old. I am way, 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 way out of my league. I mean, I stepped out of the boat and the boat, cruised off. I'm just standing out there going, Lord, what am I doing here? And they're just, you know, these adult people are just pouring out their life, and they're like, I'm here for help, and Andy, and you know, this is my third deal, and I've got kids, and we're blended, and, you know, off and on, and I made these mistakes, and I got these financial things. And it's like, you see, sin, one thing I've learned is sin just complicates your life. Whew. You see, we think it'll simplify it, don't we? Well, I'll just compromise. Let me just go ahead and just tell you, write it down. Sin complicates your life. Ugh, does it come? So here I'm sitting talking to these wonderful people. And many of you, you know, some of you have been to talk to me, and I'm not being critical of anybody because I'm just so excited that God's doing something in your life. But the problem is I'm sitting there going, what do I say? I mean, they're done. It's like, and so? I'm like, man, you know, whoo. It's just unbelievable. And you know what I've learned? You know what I've had to learn? You've learned? Do you know where you have to start? See, you're here. Maybe, you know, you're laughing, but you're that way. You're sitting here today, you're thinking, man, if he only could see my heart. I mean, you talk about a spider web of problems. I mean, whew. I mean, I got relationships a mile long that none of those are resolved, and a finance thing that's not resolved, and kids, and you know, I got, now I'm sick, and you know, you're sitting here today, and you're thinking, that's me, I'm tangled. Where, you know, how do I even start? I mean, I don't even know where to begin. You know where you begin? It's so simple. You begin by making the pursuit of godly character number one. You know how you do that? It's real simple. You tell God, God, before we even look at the details, God, before we even look at the consequences, God, before I even see the whole game plan, before we even look in there, I just want you to know, I'm committed to doing what's right, period, regardless of what it costs me. You know, the other day I was sitting with this man, he's 66, wonderful man. I just loved this man when I met him. I just loved him. 66, he's got one of these spider web tangled things, it's just all over the map. And we're sitting at a restaurant. I'm 34, he's pouring out his heart, and he says, you know, what should I do? And I said to him, I said, you know, before we talk about the details of this tangled web of stuff you've got going, we've got to start with the number one thing. We've got to decide, are you willing to do what's right, regardless of what it cost you? He said, well, what's the right... I said, wrong question. I said, I don't even know the answer to that. All I know is this. Before we talk about your next letter or phone call or move, we've got to establish this. Are you willing to do... which, in other words, are you willing today, sitting at this table, to commit yourself to becoming the man of character that God wants you to be? Because you see, here's this, the rub. Follow me. He and all of us want to talk about the details. God said, I'm interested in the heart. And when I have your heart, oh, I'm a master at sorting out the details. But we're not working on the details. We're not working on the outside of this cup anymore till I know I've got control of your heart. And you know what I saw happen? I mean, I had no idea what to tell this guy. I mean, zero. He started crying. He's sitting across the table. I said, tell God right now. So he just kept his eyes on me. He said, God, he's crying. It's great. He said, God, I'll do what's right. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it costs me. I'll do what's right. Within 5 minutes, we knew what the next step needed to be. It's like all of a sudden, the fog began to settle. All of a sudden, the way began to clear. Because you see, God's not bothered by the details of your sin. God's not overcome with the complication of your situation. But you see, he's not into just making the cup look better on the outside. He wants to work on the inside. And you know something that's amazing? When you and I decide to line our lives, priorities, and finances up with that game plan, all the rest of the details, in time, begin to become clear. That's the power of character. It's the power of a heart full of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit is free to work its way out in His timing, in His way. And let me ask you, and we're finished. Could it be said of you that you're a man of character? That when you come to the forks in the road, you choose what's right? Because that's more important than achievement. It's more important than some temporary fulfillment. Are you a man of character? Are you a woman of character? Did you know that if you're not, you're going to pay a price where you never imagined you'd pay a price? You're going to pay a price in your relationships. And it will begin with those who are closest to you. Are you a man, a woman of character? Do you know what I'm looking forward to do? And then I'll be quiet, I promise. I have a 5.5-month-old son. Do you know what I can't wait to tell him? You know what stories I can't wait to tell him? I can't wait to tell him about his granddad. Both his granddads. Because you know what? Both of my son's grandfathers are men of character. And you know what stories will come to my mind first? Because they've already come, the stories I want them to know first. I want them to know the stories about the times when his two grandfathers were faced with situations. And one was to go the way of character, but it would cost them financially, cost them reputation, cost them in their career. And I want to tell them about those stories and how their grandfathers, how his grandfathers, consistently, through the critical times in life, chose the way of character. You see, there are other great things, but you see, those are the things that stand out. That's the heritage. And you see, men, those of us who are dads, we're choosing every day the heritage we leave with our kids. And I tell you what, they could care less about a lot of the things that we think are going to be so important. And what's going to be left in their little minds is, my daddy was a man of character. Oh, they won't use those words. But they'll know, you know, my daddy did what was right because it was right. See, I'm like you. I've seen people go the other way. And I'll be honest. Initially, it looked like the way of achievement was the way to go. Initially, it looked like that was the right thing. Initially, it looked like it would work out. But ultimately, they paid a high price. And see, like you, and like many of you, I've chosen in my life at this crossroads sometimes the way of desire and the way of fulfillment rather than the way of character. And initially, it looked like the right thing to do. And initially, it looked like it'd work out. And initially, it seemed like ultimately everything's going to be fine. But I paid a price like you've paid a price. And I found out that when you compromise in that particular area, what hurts first are your relationships. And to the best of my ability, and Lord knows I'm not perfect, I don't want to leave a legacy of being a good speaker. See, that's giftedness. I didn't have anything to do with that. I want to be a man who's known because, you know, Andy, he just does the right thing. He's not perfect, but he's committed to being a man of character. That's what I want to be. That's what I want my son to be. That's what Sandra wants to be. Because I'll never be light in this dark world without it. Who cares if I can speak? Big deal. A lot of speakers. But you see, you and I will stand out in this dark world when we decide, God, I want your will for my life. And before I even know the questions, the answers, or the consequences, I'll do what's right. I'm a man of character. I'm a woman of character. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, much easier said than done. Much easier for me to say than for me to do. And Father, probably, because of the world we live in, it's probably easier for me to do than many people in this congregation because of the circumstances they work in, their job situations. And they live in worlds where they're not rewarded for character. In fact, they pay a price when they choose the way of character. Father, give them the courage to step out and to trust you. Honor their faithfulness, Father, in tangible ways so they'll know you're with them. Thank you for those that have gone before us. Thank you for all the people that each of us have come into contact with in our lives and have seen the results, the fruit, the benefits of making those tough choices. Father, make us light in this dark world and raise up from our midst men and women who maybe even nationally, maybe internationally, can say to this world, the price to be paid for character is worth it because it's the ultimate thing to pursue. Father, we trust you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.